Can anybody tell me what I was talking about on Wednesday?
Huh?
Patience. Huh?
The qualities of sadhaka.
Qualities of a sadhaka, yeah. Important qualities a sadhaka must develop if he wants to achieve his goal, his objective, which is?
Krishna's pleasure.
That's right, exactly. Who said that? You? Okay. Krishna's pleasure. And so, can anyone just say anything about patience? According to what we talked about, just anything. Yes, I will never give up his service. Yes, never give up his service. Yes, do you want to say something, Chivakam?
Maybe even in the moment, be patient. You have to maybe think some stupid thing that you might say and should maybe not say it.
Yes, very well. Yes, that was coming up next, but that was in relationship to the urge to speak. Yes, patience. Yeah. In other words, we should be a little introspective and we should ask ourselves, should I be impulsive and say it, or should I think first before I say it and ask myself, is it necessary to say it? Yeah.
Maybe even with something like eating something you shouldn't eat too, maybe you should be more patient, just don't go to devour it or control it. I don't know.
Controlling your time.
Well, that's, yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't specifically speak about that in that particular scenario, but yeah, I guess that's just, you know, being less in the mode of passion, more in the mode of goodness. And so we spoke about how one has to be patient, but that sometimes we become impatient because it seems that the ultimate objective is just too unattainable. And therefore, because it seems like it's just so far out of my reach, and out of my reach, that we become impatient. And what happens is that persons will give up after prolonged sadhana. They'll give it up, thinking, it's just beyond me, I won't be able to get it. And they begin to think, maybe there's another way I can get the satisfaction I'm trying to get from this process by some other way. So due to being impatient, they look for something else that will only exacerbate the problem. Of course, we didn't get into that too much, but that's exactly what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was explaining, why there's a need to be control the urges of the body. And we spoke about the six urges: the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the urge of anger, the urges of the tongue, the belly, and the genitals. And he said, and with respect to each of these, that ultimately, yes, we have to achieve this goal, but in the meantime, being patient doesn't simply mean that we don't do anything about it and just be patient. We have to do something. And that's why we explain that that sometimes due to impatience, a person will give, being too impatient, he'll give up his work. And we explained actually the work that he's supposed to be aspiring for is the working on himself and achieving these control of these urges. And but something that's very, very important, and it's a point we'll try to get to tonight, is that just simply controlling these urges in of themselves is not bhakti. It's not bhakti. It's sakama bhakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's sakami bhakti. but it's not pure bhakti. It's not pure devotional service. It's motivation. Why is it motivated? Because generally, we know that we don't control these urges. I'm going to be agitated and disturbed. And our ultimate objective, if simply we try to control these things, is to be peaceful. And to be peaceful is not the goal of bhakti. The goal of bhakti, what is it?
Krishna's
pleasure. Krishna's not necessarily pleased by our being peaceful. Krishna expects more than just simply to look for our own peace. In fact, we oftentimes quote the verse Krishna Bhakti Nishkama Atayeva Shanta Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta, that the Krishna Bhakta is Nishkama, he's desireless. And because he's desireless, he can be peaceful. Whereas those who desire bhakti, those who desire mukti means sense enjoyment. Those who desire mukti means they want liberation. They want freedom from all those things that cause so much anxiety, Vaikuntha. So those who are striving for mukti, siddhi, those who want mystic yogic perfections, they are described as kami. Kami means these are all lusty desires. Sakali ashanta. Therefore, they can't be peaceful. Bhakti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakali ashanta. Therefore, they can't be peaceful. Why? Because they still have unfulfilled desires. I want peace, but peace, I want liberation. But that's a selfish desire. As long as any tinge of selfishness, one can't be peaceful. Because our constitutional nature, our self-identity of the self is the real platform of peace, is that self is connected to Krishna. Aham bija pratapita. Krishna says, I'm the seed-giving father of all living beings. Every living entity has a connection with Krishna. And if the self, Savai pung samparo damo yato bhaktirad hoksajaya haitika pratiyata yatma supersedati. The supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which men can achieve loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to satisfy the self. So, bhakti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. Therefore, they can't be peaceful because they still have a goal. They haven't achieved their goals. When they achieve the goals, it's not permanent. It's temporary. It's not permanent. Achieve some fruitive result, it's not permanent. It's lost. Even if one achieves liberation, vimukta maninas, by performance of austerities, until they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, hariya krishna parampadam tata padantyato yasmat yusmadankrita anguya. Krishna, Lord Brahma says, although they may perform severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position, yenye ravandaksha vimukta maninas. Vimukta maninas means they think themselves liberated. So Krishna lets them think, I'm liberated. But they fall down from that position because they haven't yet taken shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, which is the real shelter. The safest position, eternal position for every living being. That position is so satisfying. Why? Because in that position, the devotee doesn't have to think of his own happiness. Because Krishna has already taken care of it. And Krishna can take care of it better than we can and better than anyone else can. Krishna knows how to give pleasure. He is the reservoir of pleasure. He can give such satisfaction to those who serve him with unmotivated, uninterrupted attitude of devotion that the devotee doesn't even think of his own happiness. That's the symptom of the residents of the spiritual world. They never think of their own. Their happiness is only thinking of Krishna. And they don't even... happiness or sad? It's not a perceivable state of consciousness for the liberated soul. Rupa Goswami quotes the verse, Iha yasya hariya dasya ikamana manasa gira nikalafapyasvastasu jivan muktasu uchite. He says that for the devotee who's engaged his mind and body and his words in the service of Krishna, he is a liberated soul even while within the body. Already liberated. He's completely freed from identification of the pangs and sufferings of this material world. He doesn't have to think of his own happiness or his own suffering because he's always satisfied because his mind is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So, therefore, because muktis, they want first their own happiness. Therefore, they can't be peaceful. They can't be peaceful. Therefore, the point that Bhaktivinoda Thakura will explain here, and we'll get to that point in this next section, when we get to the urges of the mind, is that simply to control these urges of the mind is not bhakti. Simply to say, okay, my mind's controlled. I mean, like just like one can study Patanjali yoga system, and it has a whole system for mind control, how to fix, you know, actually come to the state of samadhi through kshipta, mudha, vikshipta, ekagra, and nirudha, the different stages of the mind. Not so important, although I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur will talk about Patanjali yoga system. But still, it's not bhakti, because it's not pure bhakti, because the desire is simply to become happy. And there's no question of being happy if it's separate from Krishna. So we'll continue on these points. First, we'll continue about, I guess there's a little bit more to read about the urge to speak, and then with the next section is the urge of the mind. So we spoke a lot about the urge to speak. And as we said, there's different practical ways to control the urge to speak. If we think, look before you leap. Think before we speak. About, you know, what do I really need to say these things, especially when speaking about others. And we said, explained that when the mind becomes more peaceful, then the real objective is it's easier to think of Krishna. It's easier to think of Krishna. When the mind is so completely agitated all the time, like you're thinking this about that person, thinking that about that person. You know, you're thinking like what you'd like to do to that person. You're thinking about what that person's doing to you. You're thinking of, your mind is just like, it's like going from one thing to the next. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says there's no question of being able to remember Krishna under those circumstances. Mind is just uncontrolled. That is kshipta, uncontrolled mind. That's the first stage Patanjali yoga system speaks about. The uncontrolled mind, that means it's, can't fix it on Krishna. It's just very difficult to fix the mind on Krishna because the mind is always going from one thing to the next to the next to the next with no gaps in between to think about Krishna. So that's the symptoms of a disturbed mind. So therefore, there are practical ways that we can control this urge to speak so that the mind can become more peaceful, so that it will be more conducive for thinking about Krishna, to speaking about Krishna, for remembering Krishna, which is really the objective in all of this. Without Krishna, then there's really no relevance to discuss the controlling of all of these urges. It may sound like it's like what many people, they go and they pay hundreds of dollars for, you know, stress management or something like that. They take different courses, and you know how to deal with stress. You know, they deal with different ways of how to relax the mind, make it peaceful, and you know, and so that they can enjoy, basically, so they don't have to be so disturbed about, you know, about their way of life and the way of about enjoyment, because sense gratification, unrestricted sense gratification, just causes so much suffering. So the only way to compensate for it is to try to deal with a way to confront my suffering by feeling good about my enjoyment. And I can feel a little bit more peaceful, but it doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't really solve. It's temporarily solving the problem. And some people, of course, who are more inclined towards temporary solutions, they're very satisfied with that. But it doesn't give the permanent solution to anxiety. It still comes back. And therefore, the best way to deal with it is a way to incorporate Krishna consciousness into all aspects of one's life, and not just, you know, 15 minutes a day, stress management. Yeah, so I can go on the rest of the day and deal with it, you know, and then I'd have to go back to my 15 minutes the next day or a half hour the next day, stress management. But it's because it keeps on, it doesn't go away. But a devotee knows that he can apply these principles in all aspects of his life. It's a very wholesome way to live. I'm a servant of Krishna. Not only when I'm in the temple and I'm chanting Hare Krishna and I'm worshipping the deities and I'm chanting japa and I'm associating with devotees, but I'm a servant of Krishna even when I'm at work and I'm dealing with a boss that's very demanding. And I'm a servant of Krishna even when I'm dealing with my family members who are all parts and parcels of Krishna. And I have a reason that I do all of these things, because it's all a support to my service to Krishna. And therefore, because Krishna is the goal, Krishna is the objective, and remembering Krishna is the objective, everything becomes a part of our life, all aspects of our life. And therefore, it's not just a part-time affair of temporarily dealing with stress, but it's actually putting everything in its real perspective in relationship with Krishna. It's not that anxiety is going to go away, but at least there's a goal for everything that one's doing. And because there's a goal, then the time spent in dealing with stress is simply bringing my consciousness back to the goal. Bringing my consciousness, the goal is Krishna. It's always, that's sadaka. The goal is always Krishna. It's not just eradicating the anxieties. That's temporary relief. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami. What is, no, that's, there's another verse. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pisachi hiri vartate. Rupa Goswami explains that bhukti and mukti, and desire for enjoyment and the desire for liberation from suffering, they're like two witches which haunt one like a ghost. As long as these two witches are within the heart, one will never, never be able to taste the bliss of service to Krishna. Never. It just won't happen. So, therefore, the real stress management is engaging in those activities which makes it more conducive to be fixed on the goal. Service to Krishna and Krishna's pleasure. And then what happens is that when the sadhaka actually brings his consciousness back to the goal and to the objective in his bhajan, in his chanting, in his association, then because he's actually endeavoring it to do that to please Krishna, the result is the sadhaka begins to realize, I'm not doing this myself, I need help from Krishna. I can't do it myself. I don't have the strength. I don't have the mental strength to do all this alone. And Krishna helps. He helps. Now this is the mystery. This is the, you know, like the way sometimes we say, that's the thing that's way far off. When am I going to see Krishna's help? You know, right now I feel like I'm lost and I'm an abandoned soul, and I'm just, you know, just trying to keep my head above water. I'm floundering in this ocean of material existence. It's Krishna's help. You know, Krishna doesn't think about somebody like me. He's in your heart. Certainly he must think about somebody like you. He's in everyone's heart. Thinks about everyone. And he's just waiting for everyone, you know, to turn to him. And then he says, I'll help you. Out of compassion for them, I who am dwelling within their hearts, I destroy with the shining lamp of ignorance the darkness, the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. So Krishna knows. He's there. He's ready to help. We just have to convince him that it's him, it's Krishna that we want for help. We don't want help from stress management courses. We don't want help from sense gratification. We don't want help from the fallible soldiers. We don't. If we keep on saying, you know, Krishna, I want your help, but that we spend all our mental energy thinking about the help we want from everyone else besides Krishna. You know, it's just like the story of the Pandavas when Draupadi was being disrobed and there was an attempt to take her robes off and her clothes off in the assembly of the Kauravas and the Pandavas. And the Pandavas, they had lost everything and they couldn't do anything to protect Draupadi. And it's a very nice story that explains when Draupadi, later she went to Krishna and she said to Krishna, Krishna, why did you take so long? You know, to help me. And Krishna said, well, he said, because when Dushyasan was attempting to disrobe you, first you looked to your husbands and you said, why aren't you helping me? And you were depending on them. And then when they couldn't do anything, then you looked to Bhishma and you were depending on him and he couldn't do anything. And then when he couldn't do anything, you were holding on to the sari yourself, thinking you could do it. So you were depending on yourself, thinking you would do it. But only when you put your hands up in the air and said, hey Govinda, then I came. I came. So it's in the same way. If we're trying to depend on artificial measures, you know, for our relief from suffering, from distress, then we might wonder, why isn't Krishna helping me? Well, why aren't we depending on him? And if we actually learn to depend upon him internally, gradually the devotee begins to feel he gets help from within. And therefore, Krishna says, Yogi namapi savesham magatinan matarapana shradavan bhajate yomam se sami yuktatamomata. Of all yogis, he who abides in me in great faith, worshipping me in devotional service, he's most intimately connected with me. He's the highest of all. The yogi who always depends on Krishna, he's always depending on me, Krishna says. He's most intimately united with me. He's most connected to me. He's the highest yogi. He has the greatest capacity to control his mind and his senses. Why? Because Krishna's giving. He's giving help. He's giving that pleasure. There's another verse, a very well-known verse, and Lord Chaitanya spoke this verse to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami gave it as one of the key verses of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says that Hrishikena Hrishikesha Savupadeva Nirmuktam Tatparat Vena Nirmalam Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchite. He says that when devotional service, one engages the senses in the service of the Supreme Lord, what are the symptoms of such devotional service when the devotee fixes his mind and senses in the service of the Lord? The symptoms are is that there are two side effects. First is he becomes freed from all designations, savapada vinaya muktam. And the other thing is his mind and senses become completely controlled. Because Krishna is Hrishikesh, he's the master of the senses. He's Govinda, he gives pleasure to the senses. He gives a pleasure to the senses which is far superior than the sense gratification. So the devotee gets help from Krishna. He gets help from Krishna, he gives both from within and from without. But we have to depend on Krishna. And therefore, when we actually learn through these struggles, through these, when we begin to realize, why do I have to go on struggling like this, you know, by my own efforts? It's just, why am I just... I've learned again and again. I failed. I can't bring about a solution. Every solution I bring about is just stopgap remedial measure. But then it's Krishna's helping us to realize that no, just think of me. Just depend upon me. Work always under my protection. Krishna says in all activities, just depend upon me and work under my protection. In such devotional service, you should be fully of conscious of me. If you're conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. But if you're not conscious of me, and you act through false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. It's Krishna's words, Bhagavad Gita. So the point is, and unfortunately I didn't even get to read, but I'm introducing to next class, is that the whole objective of controlling these urges is that we have something to do while we're being patient until we get Krishna's mercy. We have something to do. We're not just blindly waiting, not doing anything. We know the goal is Krishna's pleasure. We know the goal is Krishna. We know we have to be patient. But we know there's something that's still within our reach that we can do. Still within our reach that we can do. And then, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, progress is a series of steps in the right direction. That's progress. We may not be able to immediately achieve the ultimate goal, but if we make a series of steps in the right direction, that's progress. Then everybody needs to feel some progress. And therefore, our acharyas have given us very practical instructions on how to deal with these uncontrollable urges in a way that is tenable, it's tangible, and at the same time, we don't lose sight of the goal so that we can actually feel ourselves making some progress. So that's why we discussed on Wednesday about a very tangible way to begin controlling the urge to speak by especially avoiding unnecessary topics about others. And there were other things that I only read a few points in that connection. I didn't even finish the topic of the urge to speak. There's more. But and the next will be the urges of the mind. Urges of the mind. How to deal with the urges of the mind. Any questions? As I said, on Wednesday, these are topics for sadhakas. And I'm just assuming sadhakas are present, or aspiring sadhakas. And they're certainly very relevant teachings that will help us and give us more confidence. Everybody needs to feel confident in the pursuit of their goals. And therefore, as we said, Srila Rupa Goswami said six things. First was what? What? No. This was a verse that we quoted. Patience is one of six things that are required for devotional service. First, does anyone remember? Huh? Enthusiasm. Yes. Anna, thank you. Enthusiasm. What was the next one? Endeavoring with confidence. That was the second. First was enthusiasm. The second is endeavoring with confidence. The third is patience. Fourth is following rules and regulations of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. Fifth is anyone else?
Faith.
Well, no. Fifth is avoiding the association of persons who have no interest in Krishna. Topics about Krishna. And this ways, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a brilliant, brilliant way of how we can be with other people who have no interest in Krishna consciousness, because we have to deal with them in the course of our work, but not associate with them. This is very important. People don't know how do I deal with these people? That, you know, like, you know, what do I do? Do I go to the forest? Well, I'm supposed to work to maintain my family. Well, if I go to the forest, what am I going to bring home for them? A few nuts and berries? You know, how do I? And he gives very brilliant expose on how to be in the physical proximity of such people, but not to associate with them. Not to take their association, and to have inner strength to not be affected by that association, so-called association. So that's also contained in the instructions of this. So that's the fifth, and the sixth is following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These are the six activities which are favorable for devotional service. We didn't even discuss the six activities. Atyahara prayasascha pajalpa niyam. Pajalpa we spoke a little bit about. Pajalpa niyam agraha. But it's time for Artik.